listening to Burst Your Bubble. I'm Josh, and I have Griffin and Kyler here today. Kyler is back. We are here to deliver the sharpest sports takes. This is it. Football is back on TV this weekend. It will be actual football, not preseason, not fake. Real football will be on TV this weekend. On this episode, we give our NFL regular season awards. We break down the NFC Beast or the NFC East. We preview college football that's coming on this weekend and a whole lot more. Remember to rate, review, share the podcast with your friends, your family, the lady at Starbucks, guy at McDonald's. Tell everyone about Burst Your Bubble. It's fantasy football season, so make sure that you're following us on all of our socials at Burst Your Bubble Podcast or at Sports BYBP and our fantasy football expert, Shane, at Fantasy BYB. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you so much for listening. But remember, no hard feelings, because more than likely, one of us will burst your bubble.
And Josh, I take umbrage to what you said. I mean, real football was played over this past weekend. Just nobody could fucking watch it because it was on the Pac-12 network.
Well, yeah. I mean, whenever I say real football is on for the entire world to consume. Everyone in America is going to be consuming football this weekend.
I mean, Caleb Williams had one of the best opening performances from a presumable number one pick that we've seen in a long, long time, and probably 1,500 people watched it on the Pac-12 network.
It's not every day that an accidental fumbled snap goes for a 76-yard touchdown, the longest of your career.
Incredible stuff. But weekend recap. I met Flava Flav.
I will stake the claim here. I met Flava Flav first, but I think Kyler had a more intimate experience meeting Flava Flav.
So I'll walk in the back of the media center.
Where are you at?
I'm at the Top Rank event at the Hard Rock. They did a phenomenal job. Shout out Katie. She got me in there. Josh, she could have got you in there. Griffin, she could have gotten you in there. There were a few empty seats in the media section. But so I step back to go to the bathroom, and I see Flava Flav and Layla Ali just standing there by themselves. And I was like, holy shit. I walk straight up to Layla Ali. I said, you're a legend. Then looked straight at Flava Flav, code switched, and was like, Flava Flav! Gave him a big dap up. He's like, my brother. He said, let's take a picture. I said, let's take a picture, one of the two. But then I remember him saying this. He said, and I remember not telling Josh this, and I remembered it. He said, my brother, don't smile. You've been here before. Took the picture. But one of the coldest lines I've ever heard. Flava Flav lives up to the hype. I don't think he was quite all there. He was really excited for Nico Ollie Walsh, who ended up not getting the win. But, I mean, meeting Flava Flav, it's a win in my book.
Griffin, have you ever met Flava Flav?
I have not.
Oh, dude, you're missing out. He is he's a heck of a time. He never goes anywhere without the chain. It is an icon to see. For those of you who don't know, Flava Flav is the godfather of Muhammad Ali's grandson.
One of his grandsons.
Nico Ollie Walsh, who Kyler just alluded to, just lost for the first time in his professional boxing career at a decision. More weekend recap. Kyler came to Tulsa. It was a episode of Kyler Comes to Tulsa. I took him to one of the premier golf destinations in all of Tulsa. We went and played Mohawk Park. For those of you who ran here, you know how good of a course that is. Griffin's smiling. He knows how good of a course it is. Kyler did take us to the cleaners. We had Shane with us. Shout out Shane. And then we had longtime listener Schroeder out on the golf course. It was a beautiful day, beautiful weather. We got up early for a 7 a.m. tee time. Kyler, what'd you think of the round?
I definitely did beat everyone's ass. But I would say I had by far the best day. But the Schroeder, an absolute beauty of a partner. I mean, he helped me, and every time I needed it, it was just copacetic. It was from the moment that you or Shane decided to split up the cart. So, I mean, you usually go with your partner, whoever you're in the cart with, that's who your partner's with. One of y'all decided, oh, you know what? Fuck this guy I'm riding with. I'm going to switch it up. I felt the energy right then with Schroeder, and I think he had the second best day out there on the course, if I'm being honest with you.
So I take it you guys won.
Oh, by a lot.
I don't know by a lot, but they did probably end up winning the day. No, well, the problem is Kyler didn't take score for the first nine, so we really don't know.
Who was driving?
So it was a great day out on the course. Glad that Kyler got to come up to Tulsa, got to see the new house. The other thing I'll ask Kyler a little bit for the pod too, so that way everyone can get the reaction. Obviously, I've told you guys I'm doing 75 hard. Today was 21 days, 3 weeks of 75 hard, no alcohol, doing the two workouts, all the stuff. Kyler, what was it like being with Becca and myself going through the 75 hard? I don't think you really liked my meal choices.
No,
I don't think.
Not.
I don't think you really liked that I wasn't drinking alcohol.
No, I got home from the fights and I was literally so fucking hungry. And Josh was like, I've got these turkey burgers. And it's like, okay, do you have like six of them? I'd like a lot of those. It's like, no, I got one. You can have a piece of cheese with it. I'm like, all right, I guess
the cheese is
going to
hold you over.
And then I was like, and so then these, like, we got a 7 a.m. tea time. I'm like, bro,
also made tater tots.
I'm like, bro, we've got to stop and get breakfast. Like, we have to. Like, I'm going to die on that golf course. I'm so hungry. Yeah, definitely needed you some boozing out there on the course with us about 8:30 in the morning. I mean, it's the old saying, Josh, you can't drink all day.
So that night, Griffin Keller tells me, we got to stop and get some breakfast in the morning. I said, well, how about at a Quick Trip? Because I knew that I was going to either need an energy drink or some gum or some gas or something. I was going to need to go by a gas station. He's like, yeah, that'll work. He's like, what do they got? So I tell him what they have. He goes, okay, that'll work. Well, that morning, whenever I'm up getting ready for the tea time, Kyler comes into the kitchen and I'm eating it's usually my pre-workout breakfast. I usually start the day with a Quest bar and a deal of yogurt. Well, he comes in as I'm eating this yogurt and he says, what in the fuck are you eating? Well, it's my protein yogurt in the morning. And I got roasted for that for the rest of the day. Kyler was not.
He was starving by 8:45. He's like, I'm so hungry. I need a turkey sandwich from the pro shop. But it's like, yeah, because you didn't eat any fucking breakfast.
You had yogurt.
You had a probiotic.
I also didn't eat at the course. So.
Okay. Respect. Respect.
I also ran 7 miles on Sunday while Kyler took a nap. Played golf.
One of the best golf naps of the season, if we're being honest.
So let's talk about the pre-nap, Kyler. We were sitting on the couch. We got to watch your favorite sport, I think, in all the history.
So
LLWS, so, Little League World Series.
Who did I say was going to win it? I mean, Griffin, do you remember?
Curaçao.
So who was in the championship game? Curaçao versus California. Bottom of the sixth, the home run leader of the tournament, up to bat against a team that hasn't allowed a home run all tournament. Moonshot. Cali walks it off, and that 12-year-old has now peaked in life.
That's not good.
I may or may not have yelled, he's getting laid. And then Cali said, that kid's 11. I said, oh, that's probably a good point.
I mean, we'll leave it at that, but he's probably peaked in life.
Did you watch any of the Little League World Series, Griff?
I did not.
No, but like for real, though. Like, if you walked off, hit a walk-off home run to win the Little League World Series on ESPN, what moment in life could be better? And I've had a kid and been married.
I don't know. I would just hate to think that I peaked at 12 years old.
Maybe when you do that in high school or college or in the pros.
Or the
Maybe
MLB,
when you hit one of those levels.
I don't know.
I will say you're winning for an entire state, which is pretty cool. And you were the home run leader of the entire thing. It was a very cool thing for that kid. What was also cool was we changed the channel at one point and started watching golf. And then it was 2-0. Cali was up in like the bottom of the second and they were up to bat. And then whenever we turned the TV back on, it was 5-5. And we were like, what the hell? We missed everything. So Little League World Series was fun to watch at the time. I'm still not as crazy about it as Kyler is, but
you'll be all in next season. Whenever we're able to bat, you'll be all in. Let's just talk about Jeremiah for a minute. Can we?
Yeah. He won.
Another win that leaves room for nitpicking, but another win nonetheless. Moves to 11-0, but his last four fights have ended with the decision following those two spectacular knockouts. So what's next for Jeremiah? So do we, Josh, it's apparent they're giving him cans and he's outboxing them to a decision. So at what point do they give him a real prospect, someone that can really test his boxing, make him go in there and hunt the finish to actually have the chance to win the fight instead of just hunting out a decision, which it honestly seems like he's doing.
Well, I mean, it's going to have to happen sooner rather than later for Top Rank, because I think that they want to know what kind of boxer he is. But at the same time, they're getting the record up. I mean, we talked about this whenever we first started covering Jeremiah, of how the boxing world gets people to 15, 16, and 0, and then they start giving you real competition. I mean, we did a breakdown of this. We talked about it.
And I'll stop you. That's a great point. But Josh, we were also talking about that when that man was 26 years old. He's now 29, about to turn 30. And now he's 11-0 instead of 16-0, like kind of how we thought he was going to be.
Well, I mean, if it doesn't happen in the next couple of fights, I'll be surprised.
Me too. I think he's up there with the top heavyweights in the world. I think he's one of the most technically sound heavyweights in the world. Now, does he have the power of a Deontay Wilder? I don't fucking know, but I'd like to find out.
I will say it looked like he did at one point, and he probably still does. I mean, Jeremiah is a tank of a man who hits very hard.
And everything is so technical. It's just so technically perfect.
And I think that you told me this whenever you guys were talking, or it might have been speculation, but, you know, it's one of those things. Would you rather be 11-0 with four decisions, or would you rather be 10-1 where you got caught with a left hook and a counter and you got knocked out?
Yeah, especially in the heavyweight division.
So it's kind of one of those lines of, like, he's doing a very good job of controlling every fight that he's in and just making sure he gets an easy win. And he's not having to finish people.
And I'll just say, an inside source at Top Rank I did talk to, they said any card that they're in Tulsa, Jeremiah, they hope to have Jeremiah Milton on.
Yeah, they'd be dumb not to. That man sells seats.
He does. It's apparent. If you're in the arena, it's very apparent that people are there for Jeremiah Milton.
So, more weekend recap. Griffin, did you watch any of the PGA over the weekend?
I watched a little bit of it. I actually didn't get to watch sports as much as I was hoping I was going to be able to this weekend. I watched a little bit of college football, watched a little bit of golf, but like I said, not a ton. I did see that Victor Hovland did take home $18 million, which is nice. Congrats to him. He's been playing hot here recently. Is it 21?
No, 21 in 8 days, because he went back to back.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, he's on a heater right now. And I really like that for him.
Yeah, that was fun.
Hey, go Pokes. That's what I'm talking. He did not go to OU.
Kyle, share your nap story about Victor Hovland. Man.
So, I mean, I needed that nap just very badly. Just got, I'm going to be honest here. Shane just peer pressured me and they were drinking on the golf course and I'm at 8:30 that morning. And so, you know, it was definitely time for a nap that afternoon. Went to sleep with Victor having a 6-shot lead. I woke up and he had a 3-shot lead on like hole 12. I was like, oh no, he might be kind of choking this away. Woke back up. He was holding up the trophy. I was like, okay, perfect. Then woke back up at 7:30. So took about a three and a half hour nap. Woke up and got some Whataburger because Josh definitely did not have anything to make a hamburger with.
I had plenty of
turkey burger.
But Victor Hovland just on an absolute tear. It was fun watching some big names on Sunday that were all kind of, I mean, I can't say battling it out because they weren't battling, but just some big names at the top of the leaderboard. Victor Hovland, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Rory McIlroy. I mean, all the big names were out there at the top. So that was super exciting to see.
Well, it's the thing, Josh. They were battling. It's just, Victor Hovland started with the lead. It's like, man, I know we complain about it every year, but I mean, it's ridiculous. I understand, you know, he's only 2 shots ahead of second place, but it's like he's 8 shots ahead of eighth place. So it's like, it's weird.
Yeah, I don't know that we've ever talked about it with Griffin on here. Griffin, what are your thoughts on them doing the Cal? You might have to explain it again. Griffin will probably know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they start the tournament up with Victor Hovland started at 10 under.
Say that again?
They start the tournament at first place starts at 10 under, second place starts at 8 under, sixth, third at 6.
I mean, I don't know. I do like them all starting at the same thing, but at the same time, I mean, he also deserved it, you know?
Yeah, it's also a golf tournament, though.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably prefer if they all just started at even and went from there.
Yeah, it's just a weird wrinkle that they throw in.
I don't like it
for these numbers. So to me, it wasn't really even. No one was ever battling at any point for this. So that's my frustration.
Yeah, that's good. That's going to be most years, I think, too.
Yeah. Well, that's really all of the weekend recap that I have, unless y'all have anything extra.
Week zero. I mean, I wasn't on the show last week, and I won't even count this as an official pick, but I should be 1-0 for the year because I had Notre Dame -21.5 or -21.
It was very convenient how we got that 1-0 text after the game was over.
I'm just saying that.
Very true.
Actually, before we forget, I want to talk about this because we haven't done it and we have not talked about any, anyway, the blind side. So obviously Michael Orr, you know, he comes out years ago and was not happy with the movie, didn't portray him right. Obviously there were exaggerations in the movie, like he had never slept in a bed before he got to their house, blah, 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 blah. So obviously there were things wrong. The question that I want to ask you guys, and I have a strong opinion about this, but one of the biggest takes I saw, one of the biggest questions going around about this was, should Sandra Bullock have to give up her Oscar if he wins this case?
Absolutely not.
Embrace debate.
I think what's the guy's name? Is it Tim McGraw?
It is Tim McGraw.
I think he should have to pay all the reparations.
Why not Sandra Bullock?
Because Tim McGraw has killed people.
What?
No doubt. That man is crazy.
I'm in the same camp as you guys. Very strong opinion that she should not be giving up the Oscar for
this. No way.
Because it's not like she was the lady who was doing all the stuff allegedly. So like
that's definitely a great movie. Story aside.
Very, very entertaining movie, yeah. But I just wanted to bring that up because that was one of the more highly debated things.
And it's fucked up. The wars, and I'll let you go ahead, Griffin, because you probably read up more on it than me, but the wars have vehemently denied all these accusations.
Yeah, no, they definitely have. And they acted like he actually has received some money from all of this. But I was actually going to kind of take it in a different direction regarding sports, not necessarily a movie, but films. So you guys have seen the Johnny Manziel Untold, right?
Yep.
Okay. Is he going to get his Heisman stripped for outwardly talking about all this illegal stuff that he was doing, yet Reggie Bush, who did less than him, literally got his Heisman stripped?
No, because he did it all after winning the Heisman.
I guess that's fair.
I saw a Twitter comment that said that.
Guess that's fair.
Yeah.
That is a great question.
Although Reggie should get that Heisman.
I agree. Did y'all watch the Florida one? The Florida Untold?
Yeah.
It was really bad. Heard they left out a lot of stuff. It's just a lot of stuff. It wasn't bad, but it was just the stuff that was left out. It was apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Cam's doing the laptops. It was that whole Aaron Hernandez thing. I mean, it was kind of a weird thing. It was a whole list of things they left out.
Aaron Hernandez. I'm forever. All right, let's get some more sports before we get into NFL stuff. It's probably up now since the last time I saw it, but the last stat I saw was Lionel Messi, 10 goals, 7 games. So is he too good for MLS, or is the MLS too bad for Messi?
It's probably a little bit of both, to be honest. But I love it for the MLS. It gets people watching the MLS. It gets other stars from Europe wanting to come over, hopefully. And so, you know, and the thing is it's kind of cool that, I mean, we're going to see these players retire, like Zlatan did it, David Beckham did it, you know, players like that, that are hopefully we can start getting them a little bit earlier in their careers versus the tail end. But it's still pretty cool that they're over here in the United States playing.
Absolutely. And so and I agree with you. It is a mixture of both. I think Messi is that much better and that we are that much worse. But it's also really, so they're playing pretty much the equivalent of the NBA's midseason tournament of what they're trying to do, right? That's what they're doing right now, the US Open Cup. So when is that final? because that was the semifinals that he had that amazing, one of the best passes I've ever seen. I mean, that was better than his pass in the World Cup.
I'm pretty sure they already won it, didn't they?
Yeah, I was thinking he that scored, they did win it.
He scored the go-ahead goal for the win for the championship.
Well, I know that pass that he had was for the semis.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the goal. Messi won the championship.
Another winner. No, not surprising at all.
Yeah, so that's just super fun soccer to watch. I think it's really good for MLS. I think it's I think one of the best things that came out was that there was an article that came out where he was in talks to originally go to Pittsburgh and play in Pittsburgh.
Really?
And then Miami like came out and decided to pay him like a lot more money. But the fact that he was willing to come to Pittsburgh to play, not just Miami, means that there's might be more of a market for MLS for some of these foreign players.
Bro, I mean, isn't he part owner, though, with Miami as well?
Pittsburgh was about to give him that entire team.
They should.
They were. I guarantee they were. I guarantee that's what the deal was. You own the team.
Yeah, it was a 10-9 penalty shootout where Inter Miami beat Nashville SC in a thrilling Leagues Cup final. After a 1-1 tie was settled by a marathon 10-9 penalty shootout as Lionel Messi extended his winning streak since joining the MLS side to 7 games.
I was just going to say, I don't think so he's lost games since he's been in the MLS?
Yes, no, his current win streak is 7. No, 10 games.
No,
10
he's
wins,
not
so
lost
goals,
a game.
7 games.
He hasn't
lost
it.
Yeah, he's not lost a game.
So, yeah, Messi on fire.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, what did you expect?
All right, before we start talking about the NFL, because we've got a lot of NFL stuff for this episode, make sure that you're following us on social medias. On Twitter, we're at Sport on X. We are at SportsBYBP. I am at JakeEatno22. Kyler is at Kyler012. Griffin is at GriffinArgo1. Make sure you follow our fantasy football expert, Shane, at FantasyBYB. Go check out for all the content that we're putting out for fantasy football season. And we're going to start putting up our picks, updating our fantasy rankings. If you've not seen our preseason rankings for fantasy football, go check those out. They are linked on all of our socials right now. Make sure you're checking those out, using them as a draft kit, as a tool for your top 25 in certain positions, top 15 in tight ends, all PPR. We don't mess with any of the standard stuff. Go follow all of us on social media. Go follow our podcast page on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, everywhere else at Burst Your Bubble Podcast. Thank you guys for the support. Thank you so much for listening. But remember, no hard feelings, because more than likely, one of us will burst your bubble.
All right, boys, what do we want to do next? We've got three. This is going to be another. I mean, football's back. So we've got three segments. We've got top 10 fantasy tight ends. We've got the NFL regular season award predictions, or we can break down the NFC East. What say you, Josh?
I say that we should start with the fantasy tight ends, because I think that is going to be the easiest thing for us to nail down, since we already have our list and there's only so many good tight ends in the NFL.
Yeah, like 5.
Wow. Okay. Just roasting the tight ends before we even get started.
I can't name more than 5. Sorry. We can just do a top 5.
There we go.
I just don't feel like that's true, because I feel like you could probably name 32 starting tight ends.
Do you think that's a.
We don't have to get into that.
I have a list of 13. I guarantee you I could not name 15.
You have a list of
14. Yeah, you literally have 15.
You have 14, but yeah.
14. We all have 14.
Well, I'm not on that list pulled up.
Well, that's the list we're going
I'm not
going
to lie. I had to modify mine already because I noticed that I forgot Evan Engram.
Okay, then I'm going to modify mine based on this episode.
This is the wildest thing I've ever been a part
of. Because I'm going strictly off vibes on this. Because the last one, y'all just
off
made
vibes?
Me. Yeah, I mean, this is... But who I think was going to vibe best on my fantasy team this year.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do with the rankings, like that we have on the sheet that we gave to everyone to look at.
Yeah, that felt like homework.
Okay, I'm going to go first at 10. Is that okay? Can I do that?
I guess.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to go first. At number 10, I have David Njoku. Playing with Deshaun Watson with the full season coming back, it's not a ton of weapons. Obviously, Nick Chubb is still here, so you're going to have to be able to make plays. You've got Amari Cooper, you've got Elijah Moore, and you've got David Njoku. And I think David Njoku is going to be recipient of a lot of red zone targets, and he has an opportunity to score a lot. I think a top 10 tight end season is going to be great for him.
I also have Njoku there. Do you have any argument for Dalton Schultz?
We both have Dalton Schultz at 12.
Okay. I'm just saying there's arguments there for him in the top 10.
Who is
your there is kid? there is arguments there, but you actually have Cole Kmet.
Cole Kmet, I think he's going to have a great season as well.
I don't doubt that. I have Evan Engram at number 10. Like I said, I had to kind of modify my list because I forgot that. I did kind of forget about him, but I mean, honestly, I think he's going to kind of, I think he was tight end number 5 last year at the end of the season. And I don't think that that's going to be the same with Calvin Ridley coming in. Mm-hmm. Very well could be better than number 10, but that's kind of where I have him just because I think there is going to be a lack of opportunity. I think they're going to target Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk a lot. And so that's just kind of where I see him kind of falling to.
I'll go ahead and jump to 9. I've got Evan Engram at 9. So I think exactly what you just said. Just I'm in lockstep with you. I think just he's in that range all year long.
I also have Evan Engram here because of everything that Griffin just said. I think it's going to be a good year. I mean, he was used a lot last year when it was just Kirk. So obviously Ridley's going to take some of the targets, but I still think Evan Engram, such a big body, building that rapport last year with Trevor Lawrence is going to translate into some touchdowns.
I'm excited for Ridley.
Oh, dude, I am too. But that's not what this is about. At number 9, I have David Njoku. So he did actually finish at number 10 last year. I just think Deshaun Watson had a god-awful season last year. And so I think he's going to rely on kind of some underneath stuff and more on the tight ends. And outside of Amari Cooper, you could argue that Njoku is his next best target. And so I kind of see him taking a little bit of a step forward.
Njoku. So, I've got
What number are we on? Sorry, boys. Becca was asking me 8 about my incredible golf game today. At 8, that is where I have – this is going to be maybe a surprise for some of you. That's where I have Kyle Pitts.
I think you had him dropping. I didn't know it would be 8.
Yeah, I'm not – so here's the problem. They ran the ball 539 times, as we know from Griffin earlier this year. They have Drake London, who's a terrific pass catcher. Desmond Ridder is starting, so he's not going to be throwing the ball that much. Kyle Pitts is a great talent, but is it going to translate to actual work in fantasy football? I just don't think so. I don't think they're going to throw enough times. I don't think the points are going to be scored enough by anyone other than Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier to really make up that much of a difference. So still, I mean, top 8 is not a bad fantasy year, but 8 is where I think he's going to end up.
That's also where I have Kyle Pitts. And the reason being is because, I mean, you kind of said it. Bijan Robinson, I think, is going to take a lot of the kind of short underneath stuff where Kyle Pitts, I mean, he was on pace to have over 100 targets last year. So that would be the argument for him to be higher. But he also only caught about half of those targets. So that's not great. And I mean, he only played 10 games. And I just am not a huge Kyle Pitts believer.
Who was throwing to him, though?
Desmond same Ritter, guy. Same guy that's going to be throwing this year.
Saying. So, I mean, maybe we've improved a little bit at the QB position, just a little bit. A little more accurate throws. Because I think if it's a decent throw, I think Kyle Pitts has the ability to come down with those and have a decent year. I mean, a top. I mean, I've got him a little higher than that, so we'll get to that later. We're at number 8?
Yep.
Pat Freiermuth, I think he's going to be steady all year long. I think he's going to be a reliable target all year long. Kenny Pickett's going to – it's a safety blanket. Number 8.
That's so funny.
Where do I have him at?
You have him at 6.
Okay.
He dropped a little bit, which is okay. Shane had Freiermuth at 8 as well.
He did.
So who starts at 7?
Well, I will. I have Dallas Goedert. And this could be kind of low for him.
It's a hot take.
Nope. I know. But, I mean, last year he only played 12 games. He finished as the 12th tight end, which given that is probably because he also played 12 games. So, but I mean, the thing is the Eagles have a great offense. He could definitely end up being a top five tight end. They like to pass a lot, along with kind of throwing some shorter stuff too. I just think AJ Brown's going to have a great season along with Devontae Smith. I think they're going to both take another step forward. So I think ultimately it's going to mean less targets for Dallas Goedert, but I could definitely see the argument for him being top five, if that's where you have him.
So, I mean, number seven, I mean, Josh, you say that's a hot take. I said, I'm reading number four here, ESPN analysts that have Dallas Goedert as a number seven tight end of the year, along with myself. I also have him number seven.
There you go. Maybe it's just a hot take to me. Maybe I'm a cold take having him where I do, but he's just such a talented tight end. He always gets open when he's on the field. I'm going into this thinking that he's going to be fully healthy. He just finds ways to get targets. So I'll talk about him more later on. Kyler agrees he has him at seven. At seven, that's where I have Baby Gronk, Pat Freiermuth. I mean, he finds ways to get open. He's big as hell. He's tough. I mean, he just finds ways to make it happen. With George Pickens, you know, being George Pickens, Najee's still going to run the ball. They're going to have to throw to someone other than Pickens and Deontay, and I think Pat's going to step right in and take that role. It's going to be a very solid tight end for a long time in the league.
It seems like big third downs, big plays, big in the red zone, big touchdown situation. Seems like Muth really finds, like you said, finds a way. He finds a way to make it happen, make a play, really help out, especially then a rookie, but now coming into a second year, Pickett.
Yeah, yep. I love it for Kenny.
Yeah, and that's actually why I have Pat at number six. For everything you guys just said, I just think he's going to be more ingratiated into the offense. I think he's going to have a bigger role. Again, with Kenny Pickett progressing another year, being more comfortable in the offense, I think they're going to use him a lot. And so I think he's number six for me.
We're saying the Steelers are going to win this division?
We already did that breakdown that we had them at dead last.
No, sounds like Kenny Pickett might be MVP.
Kenny Two Gloves is not MVP, but he is Pat Freiermuth's MVP.
Pat Freiermuth might be Offensive Player of the Year.
Number six for me is Darren Waller. Darren Waller joins the New York Giants and Danny Dimes, and they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. Somebody in the offense has to catch it, and they don't have any premier pass catchers. And so I think, except for Darren Waller, I mean, Darren Waller was that guy in Las Vegas. He was that last year for Derek Carr over there. He's just fills those gaps. He makes it happen. He's a pass catching machine. He's going to have a ton of receptions. It's going to boost him to a top six fantasy year, even with Daniel Jones at quarterback. I'm excited to see Daniel Jones with someone who can actually catch a football. And so I think that's why it propped him into top six for me.
I mean, I've got Kyle Pitts here. Kyle Pitts is, I think, everything I said earlier about Kyle Pitts and Desmond Ridder, I think just another year of experience. And, I mean, we'll see what happens at quarterback there. I don't know who's the backup. I'm not even.
Taylor Heinicke.
Fucking fantastic. What are we talking about here? If he gets in the game, Kim and Kyle Pitts are – Kyle Pitts is a top five tight end if Taylor Heinicke's starting those games.
Taylor Heinicke over Desmond Ridder. Heard it here first.
What? Are you kidding me? Are we serious? Like, do you not agree with that?
I don't know that I disagree with it, but I mean, you know something that the Atlanta coaches do not.
Fucking, I know Taylor Heinicke's a winner. I mean, he's going to do everything. He's going to try to win. I like Kyle Pitts a lot this year, though. Go ahead, Griff.
I think it's my
turn. Let's see. Yeah, it is.
My fifth pick. We're getting into the top five here. And this is a conversation I'm going to love to have with Kyler because someone in his top five is getting left out. And I just don't know who it's going to be. And so I'm so excited. Number five. I mean, it's still someone's going to get left out from somewhere on this list. Number five for me is George Kittle.
Me too.
George Kittle, week in and week out, is going to be a top tier tight end as long as he can stay healthy, stay on the field. Brock Purdy, the starter, is going to be throwing dimes to Kittle. Kittle's going to block. Kittle's going to play hard, physical. I just think it's this offense has all the seeds to just blossom under Kyle Shanahan again. No reason George Kittle can't be a top five fantasy tight end. Always has the ability to break into the top three, but I think five is a safe landing spot.
I think what you just said there is exactly right. And I think there's a real chance that a year like this, where he's kind of getting older, you know what I mean? Like, he's been blocking for a lot of years now. There's a chance that one of these years he's going to become just a pass catching tight end, more so than a blocking tight end. And there's a chance he breaks into the top three. And that might be this year, but I also have him number five.
Yep, that's exactly where I have him. And honestly, that's probably pretty low. He's only finished outside of the top three, like two seasons out of his six seasons. So I really wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being a top three tight end, especially with the fact that Brock Purdy seemed to love throwing him the ball. The only reason why I don't have him higher is actually because of all the weapons they have outside of him, along with Christian McCaffrey and everything in the backfield. I just, that's why I have him at number five.
Love that. All right, number four.
Who you got?
I got Darren Waller. I think everything Josh said earlier, I mean, they got to throw the ball to somebody, and Darren Waller is an established pass catcher, and he's going to be in that short to mid-range throws where Daniel Jones thrives at, especially on the run, so that's going to be all the more welcome for the Giants, and I think they're definitely going to need that. They could win some games doing that.
Exactly. That's why I have him at number four as well. The only thing that does scare me is his injury history. I think he's been banged up the last three seasons. I don't even think he played 10 games last year. So that is kind of concerning, but I mean, he is their only target. He's it. Like, they don't have anybody else. So I think this is going to be, barring injury, I think he's going to have a really great season.
Well, that pick, who you got, Josh?
At number four, yep. This is where I have Dallas Goedert. So this is where I think that, I mean, once again, him and Jalen Hurts' rapport together is just so good. Dallas Goedert took over the spot from Zach Ertz a few years ago. I mean, they have such good chemistry. Whenever everyone's trying to double team A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and put a spy up there, he's going to be running across the middle and he's going to be open. He's going to catch balls. I see no way he doesn't have a top five fantasy finish this year. So I'm all in on Dallas Goedert.
Bet he doesn't.
What's the bet?
$20.
Tattoo bet.
$20. All right, we're in. Dallas Goedert all finishes.
Write it down.
Fully healthy season.
No. Okay.
No. That's fine. No. Listen, you got to get a tattoo of the state of Texas with like Dallas.
Well, Texas has nothing to do with the bet.
His name's Dallas.
What?
His name's Dallas.
No, I'd rather have a tattoo of an eagle.
I wouldn't.
That's then gross. Than the state of Texas? You'd okay, rather have the state want, of Texas tattooed on you than an eagle.
I'd rather have an eagle. You're right. You're right.
Get Fort Worth drawn in your arm? What's going on?
Billy Bob's across your chest.
All right, number three.
Who's going?
TJ Hawkinson.
TJ Hawkinson at number three.
Yeah, I think
I love it.
Him and Kirk Cousins have a fantastic year. Kirk Cousins might be. I mean, the mustache is questionable, huh?
I love it. All he was missing was the chain.
He's trying to look like a Viking is the plan.
Do you think he comes out week one with that?
No,
with a mustache.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I do.
He's not. No, he's not.
I'll bet $5 he comes out with a mustache.
All right, bet.
Okay. This is a betting episode. I love this. All right, let's get
two bets.
I also have TJ Hawkinson at three. I think it's just going to make too much sense. Jordan Addison is going to be there, but so many vacated targets in the offense. Justin Jefferson is going to get his. He's going to get double team, triple team probably. It's going to leave someone like TJ Hawkinson open. He's going to be able to catch those passes. Jordan Addison and Osborne on the other sides are going to be able to spread things out a little bit. But just how dominant he has been over the past couple of years, it makes no sense for him to finish outside the top three in offense that loves to pass the football.
Yep, I agree. He was having a great season with the Lions, and he got traded to the Vikings and somehow was even better. So I just think they're going to build on that going into this season. You did say that they do have Jordan Addison, but I don't think it's going to take that much away from TJ Hawkinson. And so, I think he's guaranteed a top three tight end this year.
everything you guys said, and I was very excited when he got traded to the Vikings midseason. I was excited for him, and I was excited for the Vikings. I thought it was the piece that would put them over the top, and it almost did.
Okay, number two.
Mark Andrews. I mean, he's Lamar's favorite target by far. He's his security blanket. Obviously, he's got OBJ there. He's got Rashad Bateman. He's got Zay Flowers, but we'll see. I think Mark Andrews will still be the 8 to 12 targets per game easily.
So what's wild about Mark Andrews is he has a good chance to take over as tight end one on the year.
No, I mean, he doesn't.
He does have
– No, he doesn't.
He does have the ability to do that. That's the kind of player that he is whenever him and Lamar are both playing full seasons healthy. He absolutely has – he gets the targets. He gets the work. But here's what you can get. You can get 90% of Travis Kelce in the third round of fantasy football leagues versus having to draft Kelce at the 1-6. So you can get Mark Andrews in the middle of the third and still get 90% of the output.
Not now, you can't.
I don't like fantasy football, and I'm not very good at it. When should I draft a tight end?
So it all depends on if you can get, like, Travis Kelce, you have to take him by 1-8. Or he's going to – I mean, if you get him past one – if you get him past 1-7, it's great value. But if you don't get him, Mark Andrews in the middle of the third is okay to take. Past that, I tend to punt till the 5th, 6th, 7th round, depending on who's there for value.
Yep.
So, trivia question. I did not come up with the stat. I heard it on a podcast I listened to. Shout out Fantasy Footballers. Can either – and actually, I've already told one of y'all this. So once I
think it was me.
Okay, Griffin, you can't answer.
Pretty sure.
Actually, I think I've asked both of y'all this, but now I have other stats to go along with it. For the listeners, Mark Andrews, for his entire career, has 27 pass block routes run. Just wild. Do you know how many pass block routes he ran last season? One pass blocking route, according to PFF. And I did find this for you, Kyler. In 2022, Travis Kelce and George Kittle both had 38 snaps where they were used to pass block. They were used in more than one season than Mark Andrews has done in his entire career when it comes to pass blocking. This is a guy who's going out, running routes, catching the football, and that's what he's doing. And he's doing a really good job of it. So if you want a cheaper Travis Kelce, buy Mark Andrews the beginning of the third, middle of the third.
Too bad he doesn't have a quarterback to get him the ball.
Too bad he's probably going to have an MVP throwing him the ball. All right, Griff, go ahead and talk good about Travis Kelce.
I mean, there's not much to be said. He is arguably the best target in the league that a quarterback could have. This is a guy that I don't understand why defenses do not guard him. It makes no sense. He's always open. You talk about route running for a tight end. The thing is he is a mismatch no matter who you put on him. He's too big for corners and safeties, yet he's too fast for linebackers. I mean, it's really just a mismatch nightmare. So on top of that, he is the clear cut number one for the Chiefs. And there's really not, we don't even know who the second guy is going to be. Is it Kadarius Toney? Is it Sky Moore? Is it going to be Rashee Rice? Is it going to be, you never know, Justin Ross might pop off. I don't know. Sure. But either way, he is the guy. And him and Patrick Mahomes are arguably the best duo in the league.
I don't know. I don't know who you're arguing with.
I'm sure Josh would have something to say.
About Mahomes and Kelce. He likes to be a contrarian.
Yeah. He's a contrarian.
That's probably right. I think right now it'd be hard to beat those two. I think with Mahomes not having very many weapons last year and still leaning on Kelce, I think that kind of solidifies it. Before then, I wouldn't have really called him and Kelce a duo just because Tyreek Hill was there and getting so much work.
I gotcha.
So since Tyreek left, yeah, for sure. I probably, like, to me, what makes sense as a duo would be like Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, because there's not like just another star over there. So it makes sense now with Mahomes and Kelce. I'd give you that.
Going back to the fantasy aspect of it, what you said, you know, if you get him at 1-7, 1-8, that's a great pick. What's the highest you take Travis Kelce?
I've seen him go as high as like the second, but that's not going to be me. I think 1-8 is probably the right spot for me to get Kelce, because then I'm not missing on like Bijan, or I'm probably taking Saquon over Kelce right now. So you've got Eckler, or Jefferson, Eckler, McCaffrey, Chase, Hill, Cup, Bijan. Yeah, 8 makes sense. 8 or 9 for me.
Might just go all wide receivers again.
Also, just kind of looking at it, Josh, your Mark Andrews take of him taking over the number one spot, I find pretty far-fetched. 6 out of the last 7 seasons, Travis Kelce's been the number one tight end.
Yeah, I mean, we also picked Josh Allen to finish 4 when he's the last.
That is true. That is true. That is very true.
Records are meant to be broken.
Same with, I think, Kittle, too. Kittle is always a top 3 tight end, it seems like.
Yeah, it's just injury is what hurts Kittle. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, we're picking stuff on here, Griffin. I hate to burst your bubble, but eventually Travis Kelce is not going to be the tight end one.
Well,
put it all leave off.
Eventually, but that's not this year.
Time will tell.
Who did I leave off?
Well, I don't know.
Cole Kmet, maybe? Where'd I have him?
You had him at 10.
Oh, I don't think you actually mentioned Dallas Goedert in your rankings today.
No, he did not.
That's who you left out of your top 10.
Yeah, because I had Cole Kmet in my top 10. Because I think I just haven't watched enough Justin Fields highlights recently.
Well, this was great. So our overall tight ends, according to our list that everyone looks at, unless you want to get on there and update your rankings, right now it is Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, TJ Hawkinson, Darren Waller, Dallas Goedert, Pat Freiermuth, Kyle Pitts, George Kittle, David Njoku, and Evan Ingram as our top 10 tight ends for fantasy football. Burst your bubble rankings. With that, boys, let's go ahead and switch over to breaking down the NFC beast. What was last year the best division in football? Off the top, will the NFC East be the best division in football in 2023?
It wasn't the best last year.
It was. By winning percentage, it was the best division in all of football.
So they're playing each other.
It was historic. It was a historically good division.
It was.
But my question off the top, will it be the best division of football in 2023?
No.
No. No, and my main reason is because they had one of the toughest draws as far as schedules go. I think 3 of the 4 teams are a top 5 hardest schedule in the league this year.
Well, what was it last year? It was probably super easy.
We can figure that out.
That would make some sense to me. Just because, I mean, it doesn't seem like any of these teams – I mean, I get it. It was the Giants. They had a great run. They won, I mean, a lot of games last year. The Cowboys, obviously, they're going to be in the mix with the stars that they have. And then the Eagles went to the fucking Super Bowl. But
the Eagles had one of the easiest schedules last year.
The only good team from that division was the Eagles. It was apparent all year long. Like, it was apparent that maybe two of these teams makes it to the playoffs, and that's what happened.
I mean, I would say that the Giants overachieved last year, but to say that it was not a good football team, I mean, is just wild. I mean,
they're a good football team.
The Eagles had the second easiest schedule.
And they made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but it was easy.
Easy as fuck.
That's why their win-loss was so good.
Well, I mean, regardless.
They're also a stacked team. The Eagles are a stacked team.
Regardless of what the strength of schedule is, these teams still, it was a historically good division last year.
No, yeah, and I'm not arguing that. I do think it's a little overstated on how good, I don't think they're actually as good as what that historic season was. Like, I don't expect them to replicate that.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, but they did.
You can't call it a historic season when one of the teams went 10-7. Like, it's weird.
Well, yeah, but it's because of how good all the teams in the division did. Yeah. All those teams were fighting over winning records. Like, the Commanders were there almost having a winning record. Like, team did really good.
Taylor Heineke.
Well, that transitions right to number 4, the Washington Commanders for me. And now we can talk about the new quarterback, Sam Howell. Sam Howell coming out, being named the starter for this football team. Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson there, Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson. The offense, you know, looks like it should take a step forward. They had the Super Bowl victory moment by beating the Ravens and ending the historic preseason record. So, you know, things are looking up. It's not even
a crazy feat. Nobody cares about the preseason besides the Ravens.
It's also a historic record. That was a record that had never been done before.
They also got a new owner.
They also got rid of Dan Snyder. So
they also got a new offensive coordinator.
A lot of things looking up for Washington, obviously.
And they might change their name again.
Yeah. I think their receiving core might be one of the more underrated ones in the league, but unfortunately their quarterback is, as you mentioned, Sam Howell, and we don't know what that is even going to look like. I'm not going to say I'm confident in him, but I do think their defense will be better this year than ranked middle of the pack, because I think they have more talent than being middle of the pack.
They were so injured last year.
They were so hurt last year. It is a really, especially that defensive front with Montez Sweat. I mean, that whole line, Chase Young over there. I mean, that whole defensive front is just monstrous.
But their offensive line is horrendous.
Swiss cheese.
Number three.
Who you got, Kyler?
New York Giants. I think they have, again, I think they have a 9-8 season, 10-8, 10-7. I think Saquon Barkley earns every bit of his contract, but they don't make the playoffs at 10-7. I think the Cowboys finish ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, what it boils down to me for the Giants is I think they have the third best quarterback in the division. I also think they have the third best roster in the division, if not the fourth best roster. So the thing is I just think the Eagles and Cowboys have better rosters overall, better quarterbacks. And so, I mean, I can't justify putting the Giants ahead of either of those teams.
Nope, completely agree. I have the Giants at three. Daboll did a really good job helping Daniel Jones last year, but when you look at it for another entire season, only having Saquon and Darren Waller as your two main targets. I mean, a lot of people are high on Jalen Hyatt, but I'm just not convinced he's going to be able to fix an offense this bad. I think that they overperformed last year, and I expect them to come down to earth a little bit. I think they're going to regress. I think they have a chance to lose some of those divisional matchups. So I don't see them finishing it like a 10-7. I probably see more like an 8-9.
Wow.
Finish probably right under the 500 mark, but I think it's still, I think this is going to be Daniel Jones' best statistical year, and they could finish under 500.
I mean, hell, he only had 15 touchdowns last year.
Sure. Exactly. It's not better than that. Yeah, but it's going to be bad whenever the team as a whole regresses.
Yeah. Who's their backup?
They signed someone, but I don't remember who.
I couldn't tell you who it was.
He's going to get hurt at some point. No doubt about it.
Okay, who's got number two?
Number two. It's obvious. It's the Cowboys. Honestly, I'm not sure how obvious it is, to be honest. I think they finished 12-5, and I think it comes down to the battles with the Eagles on who wins this division. I think whoever comes out on top in those games wins this division. In this case, I have it, the Eagles winning those, obviously. But here we're talking about the Cowboys. I think Dak Prescott, Josh, here's the question. He has the best offensive – arguably receiving trio in the league. I mean, would you argue with that?
Yeah, I think that probably Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd are the best three. Is the best wide receiver room in the league.
I don't even think it's really close.
NFC then.
Huh?
NFC then.
Yeah, I'd have to look at it. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a strong wide receiver room now that you have CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and Brandon Cooks.
I think that helps Dak a lot, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, to me, one of the reasons I think the Cowboys are going to end up second here, probably like 11-6 is where I have them. I think that it's going to be because of the defense. I think Micah Parsons wins. I'll talk about that later. I think Micah Parsons is going to have a very good year on defense. I think he's going to just continue to be a massive disruptor. I think that Trayvon Diggs is going to have a spectacular year in the in the secondary. I think this can be a wonderfully ran defense. I still have questions about the offense, but at the end of the day, Dak's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback pretty much throughout his entire career, with a couple of outliers where he didn't finish the whole season or injury. I don't see any reason why the offense isn't good. I think this team's going to be able to score points. Once again, I think the Cowboys are probably going to have a pretty good regular season. Then they're just going to choke when it gets to the playoffs.
I agree. I mean, going on more on the defense, they added Stephon Gilmore too on the other side, so that should help out. Ultimately, for me, it comes down to, is Dak going to turn the ball over? Because I think that lost them several games last year, and if it's the same trend this year, then I don't see why they would end up being the number one team. The only thing that kind of scares me about not having them number one is that this division has not had a back-to-back winner since 2004. Okay, so it's a different winner every single year. The Eagles did it for like 4 years in the early 2000s. And so kind of leading into who my number one pick is, it's the Eagles. And I do think that that trend is going to break and that they do end up winning the division again, back to back. And, but I mean, I just think their roster is ultimately the best one in the league. In the division. But and it's really not close to me. I mean, they're stacked at every single unit that there is. And then, honestly, I just think Jalen Hurts protects the ball way better than Dak Prescott.
No, the way you said that, they're stacked at every unit. So, like, and not that they're stacked at every position. They're stacked at the linebacker unit. They're stacked at the line unit. Like, it doesn't matter what position we're talking about. If we're talking about a defensive line, we're talking about a defensive end, we're talking about a defensive tackle, we're stacked in this unit, and the Eagles are.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Eagles, I mean, it's one of the most complete football teams that we've seen right now in the NFL. I mean, this is another team that could argue, you know, the three best pass catchers on one team, you know, not including the third wide receiver. But when you look at A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Dallas Goedert, you have three very capable people in offense. Then you add in Rashad Penny, DeAndre Swift, who's going to be a two-headed monster, not to even mention that you still have Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott, who are very familiar with the offense and can run if either one of those guys get injured. Because a lot of people say that it is the most injury-prone duo of running backs between DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny. But those two are very competent running backs, and someone's going to get the touchdowns there. That's where Jalen Hurts probably comes in. This offense is going to excel. The defense is still going to be very good. One of the best offensive lines in the league. Whenever Jason Kelce isn't starting fights with Colts players, he's very good at what he does. Although, you know, one of the top moments of last year was, or 2 years ago, was watching Malcolm Rodriguez hit toss him right onto his back. Great move for the rookie.
That's part of what he's really good at, though, is starting fights with the Colts. Just starting fights with people.
So do you think there's any chance that they take a step back offensively without Shane Steichen?
You know, I think it's a possibility, but at the same time, I think that they're going to be just fine. Jalen Hurts getting that time with him and then kind of, you know, integrating the offense. I think the offense is still going to be just fine. I think that you're probably going to see some things kind of change, maybe like the way that they run fourth and one, or maybe the way that had the number of times they run the ball, things like that. Now that they have a more of a dynamic duo back there, and you might see less choreographed quarterback runs from Jalen Hurts.
Sirianni is calling the plays.
I'm not sure, but there's not a camera he doesn't love.
I think he would be running them. That would make a lot of sense. All right.
Yeah, like that's how I've got the NFC East shaken out. So once again, that is,
we're in lockstep.
This is a nice agreement. We had Commanders at 4, Giants at 3, Cowboys at 2, Eagles at 1.
Love it.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to. Do we want to do college football first, or do we want to do the regular season awards?
I think we end on regular season awards.
Okay, so let's go to college football this weekend, whole slate of games. So everyone loves a good tune-up game, and I feel like that's exactly what this week is. I didn't see any just blockbuster matchups. It looks like a lot of opportunities for some of these powerhouses to go in and get some wins, like Michigan playing East Carolina. That's going to be a 40-point win.
Tennessee, Virginia is going to be fun at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Arkansas State and OU should win that game by 3 touchdowns
They won't though. Iowa, Utah State. That's gonna be a tough game. That's gonna be a grinded out game. What's the spread on that?
I'm pulling it up right now, looking at
half
FanDuel.
A point.
Oh.
25.
Are you serious?
It's Utah State, not Utah.
Iowa didn't score 25 points all season last year.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But it's still Utah State.
And Iowa is supposed to be good. Like this, they're supposed to be good.
All right.
Honestly, more than anything, I'm just excited to see how the Big 12 teams are playing. Honestly, I think there's a lot of hype going into, especially Texas, you know, and I'm just curious to see if they're going to live up to the hype.
Quinn Ewers, I mean, Rice coming into town, it's going to be really fun. It's going to obviously 2:30, they're going to have the primetime spot on Fox. It's going to be fun to watch. Gus Johnson's probably going to be calling that. I think if he's still at Fox, he's definitely going to be on the call there.
Battle for the name of Miami.
No, that is true.
Winner gets to keep the name. Loser has to change the name of the city is what I've heard is what's going around on a petition. Mm-hmm. So Miami, Florida or Miami, Ohio?
Nevada, USC, hit the over on that. And forget about it because you won't be able to watch it because it's on the fucking Pac-12 network.
That spread for Oklahoma and Arkansas State plus 35.
Josh, I'm not going to stop on this. It's the fucking Heisman. It's the number one pick, and nobody in the country can watch him.
Hey, let's talk about it. Do you think he's going to win Heisman again this year?
Yes.
So you think he's going back-to-back?
And go number one.
You know the last time there was a back-to-back Heisman winner?
When's that?
1974 and 75.
Is it going to be fucking Bo Nix?
No.
Who's it going to be?
I don't know. You tell me.
Bo Nix might win it. He's
could
in
be
the
Drake
conversation.
Could be Marvin Harrison Jr.
If Marvin Harrison Jr. has a season, that'd be incredible. And I've heard from people from Ohio say that he's one of the best talents to ever walk on that campus.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I'm excited to see him in the pros. Alabama with the tune-up game, obviously, Middle Tennessee. Anything else? Anything pop off the screen to you guys?
Sunday there's games.
Mm.
As well, and it's LSU Florida State 5-8.
Oh shit!
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that's the best game.
Yep, I am looking forward to that one. Other than that, no, I mean it's a bunch of tune-up games this week. Besides that, and so really next week, you kind of just little look ahead for that Texas Alabama. Looking forward to that one.
What I'm gonna look for on Monday is that Clemson Duke game. We're gonna really see if Clemson's back. If Clemson is back to their winning ways, if Dabo has that program back to where he needs them at. Got the quarterback in from, I know they had it. He's a transfer from somewhere. We'll see what Dabo has got with a really highly touted Clemson team against a Duke team that's gonna be frisky.
And the spread's only 12.5.
It's going to be a frisky Duke team on ESPN at 7 o'clock at Duke.
That Texas Alabama game is plus and minus 6.5 as well right now. I mean, boys, we're right in the thick of football. I love the college football talk. This is a bunch of tune-up games this week. It should be a lot of blowouts, dude. But that does mean that we are primed for a couple of upset picks this weekend. So I'm going to do some of my homework and see if I can't find some for socials throughout the week. And post a one or two sleeper upset picks for college football.
Speaking of sleeper, something I can't wait. I hate the sleeper app, by the way. But speaking of sleeper, I know you, Griffin. You kind of. I hate the sleeper app. I'll go on a rant if you want me to.
Hold on. Before,
that's the go-to fantasy app.
This
bud.
Man prefers ESPN. The app that crashes.
Yep. Bro, I can't even figure out where. I'm not even going to get into it.
I get lost.
I'm
in sleeper
in a,
twice
one
a day.
League on ESPN, and I hate it.
I get lost in sleeper twice a day. Anyways, a real sleeper is Northwestern versus Rutgers, meaning that I will be taking a nap during that game. It's going to be the perfect game to nap during. It's going to be 9-12, if I had to guess, 9-21-16, something weird. And it's going to be a really fun game to watch the end of after a nap.
All right. Big nap guy.
Love naps on a Sunday.
Okay, I think that's all for college football. So let's get into it. What everyone's been waiting for: NFL regular season award predictions. I'm ready for them. I want to hear what you guys have. We're gonna hit some of the big ones here, and I'm gonna pull up on FanDuel so I can see what the
I'm going
odds
strictly,
are for some of these picks.
I'm going strictly on bets I have placed. So I put in some bets about 4 weeks ago that.
Okay, let's go ahead and start. Well, we'll save that one. We'll start towards down here at the bottom a little bit. Let's go ahead and start with NFL Comeback Player of the Year.
It's a lock. It's DeMar Hamlin. He's
-285. I mean,
I mean, he did die and come back, so he probably does deserve the award. But
I know this is going to sound heartless, but is he even that good?
It's because NFL writers vote on this. That was a crazy statement. But it's because NFL writers.
I'm
vote
just
on
saying.
This. They love it. They
let's,
love a good
let's be
story.
Honest about it.
Yeah.
John Mechie's if depending on who has the better year, though, he didn't die. But if Mechie has a pretty good year coming back from lymphoma,
what about Lamar?
That's pretty good. Lamar's plus 2,500. No way. Tua with a hand cramp, he has a chance. But I think DeMar Hamlin is a lock.
Ooh. You know who might?
I'm sorry.
With the new team? Trey Lance.
What did you say, Griffin?
Getting benched?
Oh, we didn't even talk about that when we were talking about the Cowboys.
My thing is, well, it's not a difference maker.
No.
Yeah, but it's news.
It's a difference maker to the Lance family.
Yeah, like what?
I mean, he's a QB4 behind
honestly,
Will
though,
Greer.
Can we talk about the fact that Russell Wilson is on? Like, he has the third best odds to win Comeback Player of the Year just for being ass last year.
He does not have the third best odds.
Yes, he does.
That's what Vegas Insider has.
Oh, I mean, I guess technically, yes.
What do you mean technically?
He's tied at third. Like, he's
no, it's
one,
literally
two, three, four, five, fifth on the list.
I've got him number three.
Bro. I don't know. Josh Vegas Insider has him at number three by himself, and that is ridiculous because what's he coming back from? I'm sorry, you had a terrible season.
Well, that's the thing. He's coming back from a bad season. If he wins MVP...
Who cares? He's not going to win MVP.
But if he did, you would say that he didn't deserve the award?
No.
I mean, you're probably right. DeMar Hamlin died on the field. But...
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, he at least came back.
Yeah, from the dead. All right. NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year.
What about Coach?
I'm going up my list.
Okay.
Defensive Rookie of the Year. Who wants to start?
I'll go. It's Jalen Carter. Plus, I got a plus 900.
Oh, better.
I actually agree with that. I have Jalen Carter as well.
I think he's a monster all year long. I think he's in the perfect system for him.
Yeah, and I mean the thing is if he comes in and is anything that he was at Georgia, he's going to step right in, and I mean, he's going to make an impact right away. I think that I almost went with Will Anderson here, which is the safe pick, I feel like, but he's going to get a lot more attention just because their offensive line or defensive line is not as stacked as the Eagles is.
You can't afford to give Jalen Carter extra attention.
Right.
Josh, who you got?
I'm going to take Will Anderson. I'm going to take the favorite here. I'm going to take him at plus 400. I think that what's going to make the bigger difference is I think that there's a chance Jalen Carter kind of blends into a team that is already really good on defense. And if Will Anderson shines and he has a lot of big moments coming out, I think that he could make a big opportunity to – or he has a good chance to make those opportunities matter when it comes to the spotlight, because this defense is not good. So if he's a shining part of this defense, I think it boosts him – to where he's going to get that defensive player of the year.
I like that.
Yep. Yep. That's definitely fair.
NFL offensive rookie of the year.
I'll start with a hot take here. I don't have a strong take about this award. So I'll start. I'll have a hot one. I think it's going to be Anthony Richardson. So I don't think Bijan Robinson has a great year. I don't think he has a bad year, but I don't think it's fantastic. I think Anthony Richardson rebounds the Colts enough, rebounds them to a franchise that's looked at as respectable, reputable, and I think it's enough for the riders, for the voters for him to win offensive rookie of the year.
So I'm not saying that I hate the pick or anything like that. But I just will share the preseason stats of Anthony Richardson, and then I'll move on to let Griffin say it. He went 13 of 29 for 145 yards and one interception.
Great. He fell with his ropes.
Yeah, so what he went the option of like setting the bar low, so that when you outperform, it makes you look really good.
Preseason is so it doesn't matter.
So I mean, it's Bijan Robinson, honestly. Yeah, and I don't think, I mean, he's going into an offense that loves to run the ball. Even when they were trailing, they still love to run the ball. He's obviously a great pass catcher coming out of the backfield. Honestly, I would not. Nah, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, I think that, I mean, it's just he's one of the best prospect running backs coming out in the most like the last decade. And so the thing is he's just, I mean, I will say he might be top five candidate for offensive player of the year.
Wow.
As a rookie because of the usage. Like, I'm not, I
bet he don't.
I'm not going to guarantee. That's fair. But at the same time, I mean, I just think his usage rate is going to be crazy with Atlanta. And I think they're going to really highlight him in their offensive system. And on top of that, I mean, it's kind of history tells us that rookie running backs tend to have more of an impact than any other position as a rookie coming into the league. So that's kind of where I stand with it.
Plus 3,500 to win offensive player of the year.
Man, it's not too bad.
I'm also all in on Bijan for rookie of the year, just for what you just said. And he's also plus 300 for rookie offensive player of the year, which I feel like is free money. So go ahead and lock that bet in at plus 300. Like I said earlier, 539 rushing attempts for a team that doesn't care if they're behind or winning. They're going to run the football. Dan Campbell's going to run it down your throat. Bijan's going to get every opportunity. Such a wild prospect. All in on Bijan taking home offensive rookie of the year. Now let's go to the AP NFL Coach of the Year.
Okay, you're just going all over the place.
I'm just going up the list.
It's Dan Campbell.
Okay. He is Dan Campbell. He is the favorite at plus 1,000.
I got him at plus 850.
Hey.
Well, I got better odds for you. You make more money on FanDuel.
People love the Lions. That's all I got to say.
Okay, well, so I'm gonna go with the person I have at second place, second odds here, and I think to me it makes a ton of sense because I think that this team is gonna have a better year than they had last year, and I'm gonna go with Sean Payton. I think that he's gonna help Russell Wilson look like a little bit more of the Russell Wilson from old. You've got a lot of pass catchers, you've got a lot of opportunity. Defense is really good. I think that Sean Payton is one of the best NFL coaches that we've seen in a long time. So I'm gonna give him here. It's gonna be his first year back. The Riders have a lot of reason to want to give Sean Payton this award, so I'm going Sean Payton, Coach of the Year.
Comments on that, Griff?
Yeah, I don't think you can be third place in your division and win Coach of the Year.
So that transitions to my point, to my pick, I should say. I have Robert Saleh. I think but I mean, obviously, he has Aaron Rodgers. So I think they could win 14 games, or they could finish third in their division. But I think him at plus 1600 right now, where I'm seeing him at, that's really good odds. I think that's the best odds for Coach of the Year right now.
Yeah, I just wonder how much he's going to get, how much his votes will get diluted because of all the weapons that he has.
Well, he might still got to call the plays.
I mean, he's not calling the plays.
He might be. No. I don't know him.
He better not. He's a defensive coach.
okay, now we've got NFL defensive player of the year.
I want to start with this. So I agree with you, Josh. So Michael Parsons plus 500. But I'll ask this question. So we see the impact and the effect that he has on the defensive side of the ball nonstop, just every single play. All four downs. But these other guys, the Myles Garrett, the TJ Watt, the Nick Bosa's, the Max Crosby's, Josh, they're breaking sack records. They're doing everything that the defensive linemen have never done before. So at what point, what differentiates these players from who's the defensive player of the year and who's not?
I mean, stats have a lot to do with it. I mean, how well the defense as a whole performs probably has a lot to do with it. The leadership characteristics, I mean, the stats play a big part. I mean, if you're going out breaking a sack record, yeah, you know, you probably deserve the recognition of doing so with the award. But I think that Micah Parsons is going to put together a good enough year overall where he's going to be high enough in most categories in stats to be where you can't overlook him. I mean, I'm not saying that Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Nick Bosa are not fantastic defensive players, because they are, and any one of these guys on the list could win it. I just think that it's been the defensive end's time, and I think that it's going to transition this year into a linebacker when I think Micah Parsons is the best candidate, because he plays such a good hybrid role of just being everywhere on the field at once.
A linebacker that could just come off the edge at any time.
And yeah, so I have Myles Garrett winning this. He's coming off back-to-back 16 sack seasons, and they also upgraded the defensive line with Za'Darius Smith and Dalvin Tomlinson coming in, and so there's going to be less focus on, like, you're not going to be able to double him just every single time anymore. And the thing that kind of scares me about Micah Parsons is over the last, like, I think it was like last five or six games to end the season, he only had 1.5 sacks after starting off with 10 sacks. You know, so that, I mean, he clearly showed fatigue, and that could be just because he was a rookie, not used to, I mean, it's kind of the rookie wall.
So I will say what I think actually contributed a little bit more was the ins and outs of Dak Prescott's injury and having to deal with more of a different kind of offense where the ball's indexed, turning the ball over so much where the defense is always out on the field. You're getting gas more than you usually would week in and week out. So I think that fatigue factor came into play a little bit towards the end of the season.
That definitely could be the case, along with, I mean, again, rookies tend to hit that wall midseason anyway. So it's not like you could, even with Dak not turning the ball over, if he ever did do that, then you could still have an argument. Yeah, there's no way. but that's kind of where I'm coming from. And I think, I mean, Myles Garrett's had a case at being the best defensive end in the league for quite some time now, and I just think it's his time to kind of get defense player of the year.
I love it. Myles Garrett was my pick last year. I mean, you can – these top four or five guys in the rankings, you can pick any of them and draw their name out of a hat.
Right.
Kyler, who did you have?
Of defensive?
Yeah.
Oh, I started with Mike Parson.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So offensive, I'll start with that, though. I think it's going to be a race between who stays healthier, between Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. I think whoever stays healthier, if any of them misses a week, they will lose in the amount of yardage they have for the season, and that will lose them the race. But it's going to be between them. But if I had to pick, which I do have to here, I'm going to say Justin Jefferson.
I agree, even though that Justin Jefferson won it last year. It's hard for me to pick someone to win it back-to-back. But, I mean, he's sitting here at plus 1,400. You lose Adam Thielen. You get the rookie Jordan Addison. You get T.J. Hockenson, someone else who's going to take the targets. You can't just triple-team Justin Jefferson and expect the Vikings to not score points anymore or continuously, because you couldn't do that before. So you're still not going to be able to triple-team Jefferson and just, you know, think no one else is going to beat you. Kirk Cousins is still a very serviceable quarterback in the NFL. So I agree. I think that Justin Jefferson is just going to get the work. I think he's the most talented wide receiver in the league at this point, and I think he's going to make it happen. I think that there are going to be some – everything that Justin Jefferson does is under a microscope more than ever, and so the bad weeks will be highlighted a lot more than the good weeks.
As much as Kirk's bad weeks are.
Yeah, well, I think that those are going to go hand in hand. People are going to tie Jefferson's bad weeks to some of the fact that Kirk Cousins had a bad week, and how can you know, you're going to have to overcome that if you want to be known as the offensive player of the year.
So I have Tyreek Hill here.
I love
2,000 yards.
And I don't know. Like I said before, I don't know that he'll actually hit 2,000 yards, but Mike McDaniels, I think, is going to use him in all kinds of packages this year, and his yards after catch potential is just, I mean, it's unmatched. And he put up over 1,700 yards last year, and Tua missed how many games? 6 or 7?
Yeesh.
I don't know. Again, not saying he would have hit 2,000 yards last year or that he will this year, but you would expect him to up his game even more. And kind of what you said, you cannot, with having Jaylen Waddle on the other side, you cannot double team Tyreek.
You know what you can get him for right now for Offensive Player of the Year?
Is it plus 2,000?
Plus 2,000.
Yep.
Magical number, huh?
That's free money.
It's free money. Magical you heard number, it here first.
2,000. I mean, do you think it's a lot? Like, do you think it's like realistic at all that he gets 2,000 yards?
I mean, I think at some point somebody's going to do it. With his yards after the catch potential, he definitely could. Do I think he really will? No. But he also doesn't miss games hardly ever. In his whole career, he's not really missed games. I think he's missed one.
I did hear a take from someone. I think it was our buddy Buck. He said that if Tyreek hits 2,000 receive, or if he hits 2,000 yards, the Dolphins won't have a winning record.
Yeah.
Or he's going to carry him to the Super Bowl. He's not going to.
That'd be like Allen Iverson bringing the Sixers to the finals against the Lakers.
Yeah.
Winning the first game.
Okay, last award that we have to give out is the NFL regular season MVP. And I'm going to start this off by saying, I think they should change the name. I think it should just be, name it after a quarterback and call it the quarterback 2020 whatever award.
Because be like the Lamar Jackson trophy.
Yeah, I mean, just something like that. Like, because it's not the MVP anymore. Like, it's not the most valuable player on these teams. That's not who wins it.
It's the storyline.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But, like, if you want to talk about most important players on a team, like Justin Jefferson on the Vikings is the most important player on the team.
You would talk about removing the king and queen from England next, Josh? What do you want to talk about?
I would just like to, if you're going to call it the MVP, I have the same argument with the NBA. If you're going to call it the MVP, make it go to the MVP, not just a single position in the league. Or
if,
like,
if they're a king, why do they have a parliament?
What?
Yeah, it's going to be the same question.
Okay, NFL regular season MVP. Obviously, I'll go first. This one's obvious for me. It's going to be Lamar Jackson plus 1,600. There's your free money. So, go and get it now. Lamar has a whole lot to prove. He's got a lot of chips on his shoulder right now from the contract talk, and he's going to be in a new high-powered offense where they've already run more three wide receiver sets in preseason than they did all of last year when you look at it per game basis. So the team's obviously going to want to spread the ball out. They want to go fast-paced. Want to up the tempo. We're going to get those runs in. J.K. Dobbins is back. Gus Edwards is still here. We've got more weapons, even though I hate how everyone talks about how deep the wide receiver room is because it's not really that deep. But I think Lamar is going to come out with a lot to prove, and I'd be scared to death if I was any team in the AFC.
What you said just there, I did get him at plus 1,800, so I'm a little excited about that. What you did say there is that he has something to prove, and I think he does have something to prove. Getting all of that money, he has something to prove to all the haters that were saying he doesn't deserve all this money. They shouldn't pay him all this money. They should let him walk, should let him sit out this year if he wants to, should let him lose all this money. He's hearing all that. He's reading all the tweets. I think he's going to have one of the best years we've ever seen from an NFL player.
Well, you guys are wrong. It is.
Yeah, let's go original.
It is. He's going back to back, and I was actually gonna just say my pick with putting him on my background, but I couldn't figure it out. But Boomer. No, I mean it's Patrick Mahomes. I saved it somewhere. I don't know. He's the best quarterback in the league. He's going to put up crazy numbers no matter who he has receiving for him. And honestly, they're probably going to be the number one seed in the AFC again this year. Ultimately, they're going to be back in the Arrowhead Invitational, per usual. And
if we get to change the name of the Super Bowl, then we definitely get to change the name of
the MVP. That was actually the AFC Championship game.
If we get to change the name of the AFC Championship game, then we definitely get to change the name of the MVP award.
I don't know what you're on.
Yeah.
Whoever wins MVP this year, that's who we're naming it after, because it's going to be a quarterback.
No.
You just want the trophy to be named saying, after LeBron.
If you're – you say LeBron? I mean,
yeah, that's what he wants.
Well, he's gotten snubbed a lot when it comes to the MVP.
That is facts.
Yeah. What are the chances Travis Kelce wins Offensive Player of the Year? I mean, it's plus 4,000. But if Patrick Mahomes has such an outstanding year as the MVP, what if they sweep it?
That'd be awesome.
You should parlay that. That'd be crazy.
I will let you guys know on the three-leg parlay I put in, I placed it on July 16th. Justin Jefferson, Offensive Player of the Year, Lamar Jackson, MVP, and Micah Parsons, Defensive Player of the Year, was plus
money.
$179,000 and or plus 179,900. Sorry, plus 179,900. I bet 61 cents, and if it hits, it'll pay me $1,100.
All right.
So not too bad of a bet if I say so myself.
I would
play roller.
Governor.
It was all the money I had left on my
61
on my
cents?
On my FanDuel account after
you
I
went
placed,
out and bought ramen noodles so you could eat.
Man. Bro, with Biden inflation, you can't buy ramen noodles for 61 cents. Yeah, this economy's tough out here, boys.
If you get stit to pass,
like,
you
that's
just
why
sit
you got
at
a
home.
Sports bet.
That's right. I get a sports bet to feed my family. Oh, boys. All right. Fantastic episode. A lot of football.
Love this episode.
A lot of football. Looking forward to watching college football this weekend. Next week, this Thursday is our Berkshire Bubble live draft. It'll be on Zoom. Or on some platform
week.
That we choose. So we have our fantasy football draft. I helped Kyler do a mock draft the other night that went very well from his position. He was all
Bro,
in on the mock draft.
We were on the porch, and I had some vitamins, you know, and I enjoyed it at night. And Josh is trying to make me do this mock draft, and I'm just, bro, it's going literally like, bro, put it on auto pick on the second pick. Like, we need to get out of here. Get out of sleeper.
I was all in on sleeper. Also, before we get out of here, I didn't say this at the beginning. I did have my golf tournament today that I played in. And I was on the news, Channel 6. There was a guy at the green who was recording with his phone, and I didn't really know who it was. I just thought it was like somebody who worked at the tournament. We're about 40, 50 feet out, you know, meters out, yards out. You know,
it's the most
far.
Scripted thing
meters.
You've ever seen in your life.
Meters?
It's the most.
You
it's
know
the
how
most...
you're measuring meters?
He shot it. He changed his range thing to meters instead of yards.
And, you know, I just got that chip in. And hit the green, rolled right into the pin. I gave a big caw-caw because it was an eagle.
How many tries did it take you to get the ball close enough to make it look like an eagle?
It was just in the one time, and the guy recorded put it on the news. The guy said, "Hey, what's your name?" I said, "Josh Owen." And then on the news report, someone sent me the
said
video earlier.
Co-host of BYB.
I'm gonna tag it whenever I find it. They said, well, he did look excited when he made that eagle. And then John Holcomb, the guy who recorded, goes, well, wouldn't you? He said, they're really excited because they parred hole one and they needed an eagle to go two under through two. So that was a big hole. That was a big moment for this young man named Josh Owen. So, you know, good day for me at the Scott Carter golf tournament, raising money for to fund research on childhood cancer.
And I did beat you by a lot of strokes the day before. At least six.
That's nothing to brag about, Kyler.
Before I get out of here, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. If you see behind me, it's kind of hard to see, but this is my board, my 100-kilometer board. I'm selling squares 1 through 100. I've already sold, I think, 12 of them. All you have to do, if you want the square number 2, represents the second kilometer of my race that I'm running 100K on October 21st. We're raising money for a friend's mom who still has, or who's battling colon cancer. She's on the come up. But she got maintenance chemo. We're trying to raise money for her. So you can purchase a square. The number 2 square is $2. The number 12 square is $12. Be more than happy to send you my Cash App or my Venmo. Let me know what square you want. I've already sold the $100 to one of our sponsors on the pod. Sponsored me running. Bigfoot Axe Throwing. Shout out Bigfoot Axe Throwing and all of our partners like Hochatime. Living on Hochatime all the time. Boys, this has been a fantastic episode. Lately, Hochatime for me is when I'm doing these episodes with you. Thank you so much for another fun-filled episode. We will see you on Thursday for the draft. Best of luck.